And in James chapter 5, verse 19, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. If any err from the truth, and if you do, you are numbered among the millions who currently live in this world. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus said, no one among all the millions can come to God except by the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are many who err from the truth, for they do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, what is to be done if you err from the truth? Do you want to do anything? It may be that you do have sort of fears about death. And because God is God and he says that after death, the judgment, something deep inside you, even if nobody said to you, may tell you that you do have to give an account for your life at judgment. Now, who knows what there may be hidden, lurking in your heart? You alone know. And indeed, you may not know or remember the whole tally of things yourself. But you do know that there were many things. You do know that you have to give an account of your sins. You have to give an account of your sins to an angry God, who, among the other things he is angry about, is that you have slighted his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, who was with him from eternity, who made the world with him, and who took human flesh and lived without sin, that by being put to death, he might pay the price of the curse of death, that he might, by his blood, save us from sin, and that we might in him have the righteousness which God needs to see, if we're to live with him in heaven, in that righteous place. You must examine very closely whether you err from the truth. The truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't even begin to come to God if you do not come by the Lord Jesus Christ. Many thousands, millions of people have gone to hell because they just would not accept this. But they are thy words. The Lord Jesus, thou didst say them. Lord Jesus, thou didst make the world, and thou didst come from heaven to this world, and thou didst know exactly what is going on and what are the requirements for living with thee forever, for being raised from the dead, and from a dwelling where there is no more pain or sorrow or tears in heaven, and where we shall see thee, where every person who's in heaven has been saved by thy blood. Have you heard from the truth? Have you examined, to begin with, in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, what the Lord Jesus Christ did, what the Lord Jesus Christ said, who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Because without that, you haven't made a beginning. And if you do that, and still resist, you're in more trouble. The only good and proper thing to do is let the Holy Spirit take you through all the things that Jesus did and said in the Bible. And then the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. Maybe he'll put you in the place of one of the people who came to Jesus and obtained healing or a blessing. Only you know what needs to be changed in your life, whether it's a sin, whether it's a temptation, whether it's a mistake, whatever it is. But he will do that. But he alone is the great saviour from sin. So if any of you do err from the truth, that truth is in the Lord Jesus, and you must immediately turn to him. Now we live 2,000 years later. How can you turn to him? Do you need to go to church? The answer is, you don't need to start with. But if ever you became a believer, you would want to go to church, because there others would help you build up in your faith as well as you would help them build their faith up. But if you err from the truth, as millions do, you yourself must have regard to yourself. You shouldn't look and say, well, it's people who are called Christians. I can't stand them. They don't live the truth. So that doesn't stop you having a go, does it? Doesn't stop you doing the truth. Doesn't stop you mending your ways. It doesn't stop you, surely, from doing what you see other people don't manage to do. And in any case, if you wouldn't become a Christian because of what the others do, why let those that you despised keep you out when you could easily take no notice of them and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you alone know your own heart. Nobody else knows their own mind and position but you. But if you err from the truth, it is to the Lord Jesus that you must turn. Now, if you're to do that, others must be involved. Others must tell you. Because if no one speaks to you about it, you're just going to go on till it's too late. It may be that my speaking to you today would amount to someone drawing attention to Christ for you. It may be that as you read the Bible and find out about the Lord Jesus, you might care to say that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John have spoken to you. It may be you hear a preacher from your hometown or in your home place. It may be you remember the long days ago of Sunday school and the Sunday school teachers who taught you and prayed for you. But if no one speaks to you, then you're going to go and be lost. And you should have regard to the current situation in our land and perhaps almost across the world, where everything is damping down, whether it's in hospital, whether it's in school, whether it's in the public forum, the ability to speak out about Christ. Because if nobody did, nobody would be saved. If any of you err from the truth and one convert him. Now, if you say by the word convert, it means nobody can change your nature. That's true. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that, and you would come to God through what he's done for you. But the Bible used the word convert as the one who is instrumental in changing your mind. I'm sure you remember your school days. Very young children tend to like a subject of school if they like the teacher. That's primary school age, probably. And if the next year they have a teacher that they like more, they drop the subject they were particularly interested in and take after this teacher. You probably all remember the persuasiveness of another speaking. When you went to secondary school in quite a different way, but still true. If you liked a teacher who knew his stuff, if you liked a teacher who was clear and was friendly and kindly, chances are you would develop an interest in that person's subject. You would be persuaded to like a subject you didn't think you were going to like, because here was a man or woman who made it so appealing to you. We do depend on people who speak to us. We depend on doctors. I suppose you know the feeling that you're not going to go to the doctor in case he discovers something wrong. Well, we do know that feeling. But if you're to be cured and helped, someone needs to tell you you're not well. Someone, some doctor, needs to be faithful to you. Sometimes when people speak to us about things we know we've done wrong, or about things we don't want to hear, we get very cross. If we wouldn't get cross with the doctor who told us we've got 6 months to live, it might be that our reaction, nevertheless, wouldn't be very good. And when we know that we have done wrong, when we know that we've sinned against our holy God, when we know that no one with any sin outstanding and not pardoned by Christ can go to heaven, it may make us very angry, not least because we've got to stop doing what we're doing now. But we may get very cross. And sometimes people get so cross about being told about the gospel that people shy away from telling them. And that leaves them in an awful state, really. They've now got to bank on hearing the gospel or remembering the gospel from the people they didn't like and from the people of long ago. But the Bible says a wonderful thing. If any of you err from the truth and one convert him, someone persuades you, somebody shows you, somebody teaches you about things you've perhaps knew and have suppressed, perhaps the things you've never even heard of, that is a wonderful thing for a person to do. And the Bible says to that person, if any of you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sinners, of sin. You are on the road to death. I suspect that you don't want to die. But if you knew how much worse spiritual death was than dying, you would be very afraid of that too. And the speaking of saving a soul from death means the speaking of saving our inmost part, our eternal part, the part that's really us, beyond death, into the spiritual realm, either of hell or of heaven. But if you believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that the one who converts you from the error of your way, let him know that he saved a soul from death. So that was your destiny. Your soul was going to die. Your body certainly, but your soul. And your soul experiences dying by torment, by pain. The Lord Jesus taught this. And it's a pain that doesn't cease. For you have sinned against an everlasting God. Your attitude to that God who's alive in heaven will never change eternally. So the punishment is eternally. But not only does the one who speaks to you turn you, save a soul from death, because he makes you think about these things and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, he also hides a multitude of sins. Now, the person who speaks to you will have no idea, well, probably, what your sins are, unless they're very open, very obvious. But there are a multitude of sins there. every one of which you have to give account of. I was converted when I was 16. Now I couldn't remember half the things I did when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, till the Lord brought them back to me. And it is surprising what wrong, unholy things children under 10 can do. And how easily we may forget them. But there are a multitude of sins back there. And they do need to be hidden. Not hidden under the carpet, but blotted out. And we're told in the Bible that the blood of Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood on the cross at Calvary, the blood of Jesus Christ makes atonement for our sins. In other words, pays in the sight of God for our sins. God is always just. God is always right. God is always fair. He cannot go against this world which sinned against him. And the sins which they have sinned must be paid for. But the Lord Jesus paid for the sins of all those who come to believe in him. Do you put your trust in him? A multitude of sins will be hidden. Or they will have been dealt with by that blood. They won't have been hidden from God, but they will have been pardoned. And they'll have been put behind God's back forever and ever. That is what is meant by hiding a multitude of sins. So you have great need of a voice. But to those who love the Lord Jesus, how may we encourage you to be that voice? Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. The person who speaks is about eternal business. The person who bears witness, the person who preaches, is about things that will matter forever and ever and ever. Scientists may be great by human standards. Doctors may be great by human standards. Even politicians may have a grasp on earth's affairs, but none of it compares with the everlasting life that is the gift of Jesus Christ. And therefore those who talk about that and persuade you about that, they're doing a much more important thing. So those who know the gospel, convert sinners. That is, you persuade them. You can't do more than persuade men, God alone says. But they'll make you think about things that the Lord will take up. You'll save souls from death and hide a multitude of sins. It's an Old Testament idea. It comes in Daniel chapter 12. Those that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. To seek the Lord's face as to opportunities to speak to the lost, to speak to those who, if left unspoken to, would be entirely lost. And even if it were true that somebody else might do the speaking, why shouldn't it be you? Why shouldn't you have the Lord's well done? And gain a brother or a sister forever in heaven who will always be praising God that he ever heard those words from you. May the Lord save all who are unsaved through Jesus Christ. And may he help you to listen hard to those who speak the gospel to you. May those who speak the gospel witness to it, know that they're doing the most important work on earth. And that many will believe through their words. They will shine as the stars forever and ever. Amen.